This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here on this election day. A lot going on. We wanted to talk about fire season today. You hear numerous reminders throughout fire season. And, of course, it wrapped up not that long ago. We wanted to take a look back at it now that all the folks involved have had a chance to go through and assemble all the data. Rachel Pope, of course, the Public Information Officer for DFPA. Rachel, thanks for being on today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, I guess, first of all, talk about fire season. Remind us when it ended.
The fire season officially started June 14th, and the last day that we finally called fire season was October 21st. So that was 130 days that we were in fire season this year.
And how does that compare to an average year?
So last year, we were in fire season about 125 days, so give or take 5 days, even though it did seem a lot longer this year, and I really do contribute it to the amount of fires that we had on the district and beginning earlier this year.
Now, as we look at fire season, kind of remind folks what kind of the definition, I guess, of fire season.
A fire season on the district is when fuels or trees or grass reach a certain moisture level that dictate that fire danger will exist in the area. And so, you know, we had a lot of long, prolonged hot days this year that contributed to that fuel moisture drying out quicker in the season. We're usually used to seeing our larger fires happen in August, September, that tail end of the summertime that's usually warmer. But we got a lot of hot days in June, July that contributed to those larger fires that we had begin in July.
Now, of course, around our area, a little bit different picture than maybe the state of Oregon in general. Locally, how many fires did we have, and how much land was burned in those?
So locally, if we're going to look at our DFPA protected lands, we had a total of 98 fires that burnt 4,162 acres. Compared to last year, we had a higher number of fires that burned more acres. And so last year, we had that Tidy Ridge complex that happened in August, and that was started by lightning, and there's a total of 21 fires that made up that complex. That combined total was almost 8,000 acres. So if we're comparing the number of acres that burned this year compared to last year, we're about half the amount at almost 4,000 acres. But, however, we had a higher number of human-caused fires this year, which was an 11% increase compared to last year's numbers.
And those are always concerning because while you can't control the weather patterns, you can certainly hope to mitigate behavior of folks by doing things by accident.
Exactly, and that's what we're looking at right now. So I know everybody always questions, well, what do you do when you're out of fire season? So we take all that data, we have an end-of-season review, we look at the causes, we look at the fires that are still under investigation, and we have investigators reviewing the fire reports and all that information that comes in. And then we look at things as a state, as a whole, and what can we do to help with fire prevention and human-caused fires? Is there things that we could do under restrictions, or is there more that individuals in the community can do to help combat that? Like, vehicle maintenance is a huge contributor to those milepost fires that we're always combating along the five corridors.
And those some years have been a particular problem because maybe depending on the time of day, if there's less traffic out, oftentimes a motorist who's got a vehicle that is putting sparks out doesn't even know it.
Exactly, and that's why we're really trying to promote vehicle maintenance. We understand that times are hard. You know, not everybody can financially afford that, but it is a liability that you should be responsible for if you're causing those accidents. Accidents happen, we know it, but we're hoping that people pay more attention, especially when you're pulling trailers out there and what is your tow capacity? What is your weight limit? What is your braking system looking at? Those are very minor things that you could help to lessen those contributing milepost fires.
Now, agencies like DFPA and similar agencies around Oregon and other states as well seem to work really well at helping each other out because the fire, you know, every year is different and where the fires are oftentimes are different. Sometimes you get a pocket of air that causes issues at a particular area. Talk about opportunities for DFPA to send people other places this past summer.
So this past season, we actually participated in 24 out-of-district total fires, and we sent individuals also out-of-state to Alaska and New Mexico. So we know statewide, this was a record-breaking year with a total of 1.9 million acres that had burned across the state. Now, I can't even quantify or put that into perspective when in DFPA we protect 1.6 million acres, and we all know that's a lot of ground that we cover. Now, it was more than that that was burned statewide. And so with that, the ODF incident management teams are mobilized 11 times, and we have at least five individuals that are also designated in high positions, ranging from a liaison officer to operational chiefs to division chiefs that were sent out to those fires to help too. And then we also send our additional resources to go out and help our firefighters or anything like that. So it was a really busy year statewide, even though our numbers and acreage was low for our county, which we're thankful that we lucked out this year. But the East was really hit hard by all those lightning fires as well.
And when you look at the statewide total, you had a lot of fires. Some of them in eastern Oregon got to be pretty big in size. But that's still way more acreage than in 2020 when we had Archie Creek and those other big fires.
Yeah, exactly. And that's some things that the state is looking at. That's stuff that we're looking at as a region, our southern area, too. All those contributions to the fires, and we know how damaging 2020 was. It's something that we still talk about. Archie will forever be in the history of Douglas County. And so I'm just thinking about everybody else that has also experienced that across the state and what that means and the costs that are associated to it and the different studies that will come about it and how we can strengthen or improve our processes as well.
And, of course, with the large number of fires this year, that's going to bring a lot of discussion about a lot of different aspects of forest management. But from your side of things with protecting the area, I guess with that many, amount of land, did the state overall have to rely on getting more outside help in?
Yes, and that's another thing that does impact the district. So we had five team fires within DFPA or that DFPA was involved with. So we have the Homestead Complex that was in July 16th that started. We have the Lane 1 Complex that started July 17th. And then we have the Dixon Fire that was August 10th, the Devil's Mouth Fire that was September 5th, and also Milepost Lane 8 Fire. So if you think about those fires that we had in the district and all of the other fires that we have throughout the state, we're all competing for resources, right? We have so much that we can handle locally, and then we need and request the incident management team to come in. And they're going to bring with them crews, they're going to bring aviation, they're going to bring resources to support our firefighters that are on the line, like catering and things as simple as showers or even radios and cell phone service and setting up a Starlink so you have connectivity in the middle of nowhere. So those are the things that you're competing for when the state is in emergency heightened level, that you're looking for individuals that are qualified, that can respond. And so that is a direct impact on the district. And again, I'm thankful that it was limited to those 4,000 acres when other areas of the state were impacted more drastic.
How did DFPA do this year on recruiting new seasonal staff to help with these fires?
We did well. We were fully staffed at the beginning of the year, which our full staff numbers is 120 individuals, which includes our full-time staff that's 45 throughout throughout the year, and then that additional seasonal that we bring in. We're seeing that many more kids, I call them kids even though they're not kids, you have to be 18 and over to work for DFPA. But those college students that are in fire science classes, that are in natural resources classes, that actually are aware of the impacts of fire in the state and want to participate any way they can to help out. And So we're appreciative of those that I like to recognize as heroes that dedicate their lives and give up 24 hours a day throughout the summer to participate in fight fires and just are out there doing everything that they can to help protect the community and the state.
All right, we're going to take a break. Talk more with Rachel Pope of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth at 4. We'll talk about the Roseburg Urban Sanitary Authority. Some news from that agency and General Manager Jim Baird will go into depth about some things happening with RUSA on the Inside Douglas County program tomorrow. Rachel Pope with the Douglas Forest Protective Association. We're working our way through a review of the fire season. Now that we've ended the fire season, I guess, first of all, what happens right when fire season is done? Of course, you have some folks that are done working, but I'm sure there's a lot of work being done initially just to kind of deal with equipment and a lot of logistical things.
Yeah, exactly. So as soon as we finish up fire season, we decide it's over. We start to winterize our vehicles, which means we start to take water out, or we start to prepare our trucks that are actually converted to go out for our individuals that are on co-op work for tree planting. Some do trail surveying and stuff like that. Our heavy equipment operators then transfer over and drive our trucks, and they actually haul tree and seedlings across the state, even going to Washington and Idaho, down into California, and transporting those seeds to our different forestry contracts that we have. And then we switch over in the shop from working on our vehicles and maintenance. And then there's also shop projects that the guys in maintenance work on that are in coordination with other fire departments or other timber operators when they need to get their water tenders and stuff worked on. So it's busy 24/7 around DFPA, just not so much in the news because there's no fires during this time.
So let's talk about now that we are firmly in, well, really seems like winter in the past week, but we're certainly definitely in fall right now. What do people need to know about, for instance, industrial slash burning?
So industrial slash burning opened up for the Douglas District yesterday, which was November 5th. And so for that there's industry, we are the timber capital of the nation. And so there's slash piles that are out on the ground. And all of these industrial folks need to make burn plans that are then registered with the state. And then they need to file for permits in order to burn those slash piles at this time of year. And so we're really monitoring whether we monitor the fuel moisture that we received on the ground before they allow for the safety of burning those slash piles. And so the public just needs to be aware that smoke column that they might be seeing in the air is from those slash piles. If they feel that it might not be and then they want to call it in, go ahead and call emergency and let us know. There is an interactive smoke management map that is on ODF, and all of those registered slash piles will be marked on that map. So if you want to check that out, we also have a link on dfpa.net under prescribed burning section that will take you to that interactive map as well.
So what's some of the advantages of doing the slash burning?
The advantage of slash burning is, one, it's a natural way to manage a forest and that debris that's left over from the timber jobs that had happened throughout the year. And those slash piles, if they just sit there on that ground, then they're more liable to catch on fire when we are in fire season. So that's the benefits of it.
Now, as well, we've got public debris burning underway. What are some of the things people need to know about that?
Public debris burning, first of all, you need to check with your local fire department to see if debris burning is allowed in your area. So when we announce that debris burning is allowed, we're talking about lands that are protected by DFPA. However, if you're in city limits, you might have different regulations. So you need to check out what that is. And then also you could consider if there's alternatives to burning yard debris, such as composting, chipping, or recycling. If you do choose to burn, make sure that you're only burning yard debris. There's a lot of things that are regulated and not allowed to be burned, and those regulations are enforced by the Department of Environmental Quality, or DEQ. And so please don't burn those materials. They put up some chemicals into the air, and they also stink, and they disturb your neighbors.
All right.
So other than that, if you are going to burn your yard debris, make sure that it's separated. Large debris piles are separated into smaller piles. Smaller piles burn quicker and easier to control. And before ignition begins, debris piles should be surrounded by a fire trail that's scraped down to the mineral soil, which means you don't have vegetation around it, no flammable materials, it's not near your deck. And then always have a shovel and a charged garden hose at the burn site and stay with that fire until it is completely extinguished.
And for folks, now that we are out of fire season, what are some of the other things they need to keep in mind?
Now that we're out of fire season, official fire season, when we have restrictions and regulations in place, that does not mean that fires can't happen. So I just really promote for everybody to be mindful, especially when it comes to that debris burning that we just talked about. Also, when you're cleaning out your fireplace or your wood stove oven and where you're putting those ashes, make sure that you're storing those ashes in a metal container and letting it cool for at least 72 hours before you're putting it out in the yard. And if we have a warm day or a windy day, please don't burn. You could still contribute to accidental fires from happening, and you could be liable for suppression costs and damages if it should cross your property lines and go onto your neighboring lines and there's damage. You would be liable for that. Also, on those warmer days, if you did have piles that you burnt earlier in the season or earlier that month, go out and turn your piles and make sure that there's no more heat in the center. That heat can sit there for months on end without you even knowing it, and then reignite on a warmer, windy day.
Yeah, and we see that periodically where things seem like they've been very quiet, and then suddenly all at once we get a number of these reignition fires that can definitely put up a lot of smoke.
Yeah, and then we get called out. And that's another reason why we employ people throughout the year. It's easier for us to respond if something like that were to happen outside of the season. But, be mindful, especially since we're higher human-caused fires just within the fire season. That's not in counting fires that happen on our shoulder seasons or in fall and spring. So it really takes all of us to keep Oregon green and to stay safe.
So DFPA has been around for many years. Do you remember how many off the top of your head?
So we've been around since 1912, so that puts us at 112 years and 113 years next year.
Wow, that is a long time for this model to work. And, of course, you've got similar organizations around the state. So many things have evolved about fire in terms of what you do to try to put it out, how you monitor it. I mean, DFPA early on got the cameras out there so you didn't have to have so many humans up on big scaffolding and big, I don't even remember what you called those things, lookout points.
Yeah, that's the beauty of being at the FPA is that we're always evolving and we're always analyzing all of our processes and doing everything that we can to continue to be better, to continue to be relevant, and to continue to provide service to the community and to the county and protecting everybody from fires. So, I mean, if you think about it, in 1912, we were using oxen, we were using carrier pigeons to deliver messages. That was before World War II, you know, the times have changed, and to be around, it's an honor, and to continue to be able to protect the Douglas County District, it's pretty amazing.
As we wrap up, if people want to find out more about what DFPA does, also about the FireWise program and things like that, where's a good place for them to take a look?
Go ahead and check out our website. That's going to be dfpa.net. We are on Facebook, Douglas Forest Protective Association, and we are also on Instagram. Or you can give us a call at the office, 541-672-6507.
All right, Rachel Pope, Public Information Officer from Douglas Forest Protective Association. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for your support all through fire season, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.